In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The sermon text, yet again, this Sunday comes from our Old Testament passage, the story of Jacob, but it complements the Gospel passage, the parable of the widow and the judge, because both iterate the importance of tenacity in life and in faith. They might be separated by thousands of years, but in many ways they're twin stories. But I come to the story of Jacob because it indeed is my favorite. Now, I admit, 35 years ago, after seminary, I got a job as a chaplain in the St. Stephen's School for Boys in Alexandria, Virginia. And my job was to teach Bible to 7th and 8th grader boys. And they did not arrive to school every day with a burning desire to know the Bible. So my job was to make it interesting. I said, this is my favorite story. Wait till the day. It has so many details. This will change your life. And finally, one boy said, you can't say that every story is your favorite. Well, brothers and sisters, this is my favorite today. The story of Jacob. And we come to the climax of the story. Remember, just 2 weeks ago, we had the story of Jacob's ladder. And in the sermon that day, I gave a biography of Jacob. I won't do that again, but just remind us, remember, Jacob deceived his brother of his birthright. He tricked his father, lied to his father, dressed as Esau's older brother to get the inheritance of the blessing. And later he deceived his uncle out of much of his wealth. So where we come to today is he is a wealthy middle-aged man, but he wants to go home. He had never seen his parents after he left. They died. He wanted to go home, but remember what was home. An older brother Esau that had vowed to kill him if he ever went. So why would he want to go home? I think there's a homing device in all of us, a spiritual homing device, like the sunflower facing the sun. We want to go home. Even if home wasn't home, even if we didn't have a good home, there's something spiritually that when we were created by God in God's image, there was a home of God's love. There's a kind of a sentimental gospel song I love growing up, but it articulated the sense of what it is to go home. I share it with you. I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith. For child of her heart, she said, bring them up the way that you want them. And then when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my father. I have returned to the Yahweh of Judah. And even if we didn't have a mother like that, or home. There's something about going home because in the beginning there was God. And Jacob wanted to go home. And so he was scared. And he did a smart thing. He divided his wealthy family into two caravans. He sent emissaries in front of him with gifts to his brother Esau, who he had not seen in decades. He split his family in two, so if one was attacked, the other could survive. And when we come to the story today, it's a story for every man and every woman who's lived in the shadow of dishonor, who wants to believe that in God they could be lifted to a place of honor. It's a story for every woman, every man who's ever faced the consequences of past wrongs. And we've lived long enough. We've all had regrets and things we might have wanted to take back, but knowing we can't ever. And that was Jacob. And so Jacob, at this point in the story, was alone. His family was out waiting. He was in the fork of the Jabbok between the streams of water. And it's hauntingly, beautifully illustrating the color of your bulletin. Those online get it in color. He meets a heavenly angel or messenger or being. And he begins to wrestle. And I'm sure that mixed with this wrestling is his conscience and his fears and his insecurity and his and his faith. And for the first time in the human naked eye, we see something of Jacob we've not seen before. Something we see in the story of the widow and the unjust judge in the gospel. We see some tenacity. We see some steel. We see a heart that wants and pants for God. And he wrestles all night long and refuses to let go. And so beautifully, the day is breaking and the angel has to touch the hip of the socket of Jacob to allow it to go out to the socket to a searing pain, and only then will Jacob let go. And it's said that he limped for the rest of his life from this story forward. But he receives his blessing. So great the interchange in Jacob it was that God did something a few times in the Bible that God does. He changed his name. From Jacob meaning supplanter to Israel meaning a prince of God. The name that would be the name of his descendants and the land upon that which his descendants would dwell. Israel. And then the story goes that Jacob Israel did go back and he met his brother. But guess what? God had done a work in his brother too. His brother didn't meet him with a sword when he fell into his arms. Two brothers made peace. But also two enemies made peace. What is it said? The friends don't need to make peace as enemies. And that they made peace, these two enemies. Not that they forgot the wrongs that were done. They remembered them. But they remembered that God's grace, God's love is greater than even their differences and the wrongs that had been past. And that's the story of Jacob. And so, what do we bring home in our life in the story of Jacob? Well, Jacob, along with the widow in the parable of the gospel, they stayed with it. Tenacity paid off. They stayed in the water. I conclude today with a story in my life that helps me understand what this tenacity means in the story of Jacob. When I was in university as a young person, to make extra money, I taught swimming. Because in the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, you could not graduate unless you could swim one lap. That means two lengths of an Olympic pool. Because they wanted to save lives. So there were a lot of people who had never been near water, much less in it. And they would have to come and take a 3-day course of swimming. And they could dog paddle, they could float. However they got there and back, it didn't matter. They would pass their tests. But I remember one day, a young woman with several what we would call disabilities came. And such that she was told that she could probably ask for a waiver. She did not want a waiver. She wanted to pass the test. And she went through the vulnerability of putting on a swimsuit and getting into the water with other young people who could easily dog paddle there and back. And she went her 3-day course and she failed. She couldn't do it. She came back the next day for another 3-day course. And for another 3-day course, that woman stayed in the water until she made it there and back, and she passed. I've never forgotten. It's always touching. And that is the story of Jacob and the widow in the parable of the widow and the judge. They stayed in the water, and it came to a beautiful end. My brothers and sisters, the next time we're bored with faith, or cynical with our faith, or turned off with our faith, or numb with our faith, remember Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob. He stayed in the water. And it came to a beautiful end. And that is the promise for you and for me. Amen.